Good morning.
Good morning.
And Merry Christmas to all of you. And for those of you watching online, Merry Christmas to you as well. We've had a wonderful party this morning in honor of Jesus. And if you could see, our tables are full of plates and food, and we wish you were here. No, we don't, because it wouldn't be enough for us. So we're glad you're watching from home. I'm just kidding. So we're in the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And we're going to read the Christmas story. I've got a few comments about that. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Syria's in the news, right? So it's in the news back in the day, but it's in the news today. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news." We're going to come back to that phrase. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So we find this great news. The angel is coming and he's saying, "Don't be afraid." It's interesting how many times that's in the Bible. Someone has tracked it and said there's 365 times that it says, "Don't be afraid." You've read that too. One for every day of the year, right? I don't know if that's true or not. I've not done the research, but that would be just like God to tell us every day of our life. What happens in the leap year, though? It's 365, then leap year. You read it twice? Because this coming year is a leap year, right?
Right.
So read one verse twice, and you're good for this coming year. But then he says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." That would be for all people. Now, to have good news, you must first have bad news. That makes sense? Got to have the bad news. So what's the bad news? Number one, bad news is when you were born into this world, you were born on the highway to hell. Not that one. The musicians, you can't see this, but the musicians rocking it out over here. I didn't come out like I thought it would. Anyway, thank you for sharing that information. Anyway, when we were born, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? And so we were all born on a path to hell. God doesn't send people to hell. We always say, why would God send somebody to hell? Why would a loving God send somebody to hell? No, loving God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. That's the good news. So we were born. The bad news is we were born heading this way. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, eternal death, living in hell the rest of your life. That's what it's talking about. So that's the bad news. The good news is God said, "I've made a way. If you'll trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for your salvation, then you can get on that narrow road that leads to eternal life. You can get on that narrow road that leads to Jesus and eternal life with him." And so God sent Jesus down the cross for our sins. He died, he rose again. He lives in us if we invite him to, right? And so, and he challenges us to share the good news. So this good news abounds. It says in Romans 6:23, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 3:24 says, and we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So here's the good news. If you trust in Jesus and him alone for your salvation, you will live eternally with him. You have a choice. On the road to eternity, you can take the broad path that leads to destruction. There's a signpost all along your life. If you're listening, there's signposts all along your life where God is crying out, I'm not mad at you. Please come home. I love you. I'm not mad at you. Please come home. All of your life, these signs are there. He's screaming. He's crying. He's doing everything he can in every way he can through a person, through something you see on the internet, through something you see on TV, through a book you read, through the universe itself, right? All of creation cries out, God loves us. And so he sends us these signposts along this road. And he says, choose the narrow road. Choose me. That's the good news. And so the angels came and said, look, I've got good news. I've got this great, amazing news that you don't have to wind up in eternity in hell if you'll choose Jesus. And so Jesus explained that when he lived on this earth. Paul continued to explain that as he told the story to the Gentiles. I'm explaining it to you. Others have explained it to you. And that gets us to point number three. We need to explain it to others. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we know the bad news. We know the good news. So what? What do we do with the bad news and the good news? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it begins with verse 14. It says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and raised again. We're to no longer live for ourselves. When you wake up in the morning, right, you walk over and look in that mirror, you look in that same old mirror, that same old face, right? Wonder if you can do something different with it. When you look at it, you say, I'm not here to live for myself. I'm here to serve. That's how we start our day. As Christians, that's how we start our day. I no longer live for myself today. How can I serve my husband, my wife, my children, my parents, grandparents, the people I go to work with, the people on Highway 24? Ouch, right? How do I serve here? That's what the scripture's calling us to. We no longer live for ourselves. I don't have to have my way. I don't have to have my needs met. My, me. No, it's what can I do for others today? And it's in light of what he's fixing to tell us. So from now on, regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. In other words, we don't look at people and say, well, they deserve what they got. Yeah, they deserve that. Yeah, they deserve that. They're bad people. Or all these things we think about when we see people. No, we got to stop and say, that person needs Jesus. Everybody you meet needs Jesus. Everybody you know needs Jesus. And the challenge of that is they may never hear about Jesus unless they hear it through you. I've told this story several times. It's just a great story to tell. But this was about 10 years ago. I was eating out with one of my pastor friends, and we were at a place where they sell wings that you eat that come off of buffaloes. Right? That's some tiny buffaloes. And we walked in and we sat down at our table, and the waitress came over and she sat down at the table. And that waitress does almost never sit down, not at the table you're sitting at, but she sat down with her little pad, right, to take order. She said, you know, what would y'all like? And so I ordered and he ordered. And as I do often, I'll ask her, I'll call her by her name, and I said, my friend and I are going to give thanks to God for the food we're about to eat. Is there anything I can pray for you about? It's a great practice if you don't do this. Amazing. And she said, she had the pad in her hand. She slapped it out on the table. She said, what is it about this table? Every time I sit here, somebody wants to tell me about Jesus and God. And I said, well, what do you know about Jesus? She said, well, he had long, pretty hair. And some people got mad at him and beat the stuffing out of him. She didn't use the word stuffing. and beat the stuffing out of him and killed him. She said, and I don't know why they killed him. I said, would you like me to tell you why they beat the stuffing out of him? She said, I wish somebody would. She said, I've been to this church and that church. She said, I went to this one church. You sat down, you kneeled, you stood up, you see it. She said, I never even heard about Jesus. She started telling about these churches she went to. And when she finished, I said, would you like me to tell you about Jesus? She said, please. So I shared the good news with her. I told her the good news of Jesus Christ. She said, nobody's ever told me that. Now, this is a 20-something year old living right up the street here in Nashville, the buckle of the Bible Belt. They'd been to several churches and nobody had ever told her why they beat the stuffing out of Jesus and killed him. But she went away knowing that day. So you may look and say, everybody here in the Nashville area knows about Jesus. They don't. They simply don't. They're not going to churches, and if they go to churches, some of them don't talk about Jesus. They don't talk about hell or heaven or salvation. So there are people who just don't know. So never take for granted that the person you're sitting next to knows anything about Jesus, no matter where you are. Right? So it says, so we don't regard people from a worldly viewpoint anymore. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's you. You are a new creation. You're something different. Right? You're on the road to hell, to destruction. Jesus Christ came in and saved you and changed you and made you into something new that will live for all eternity. Amen? That's the good news. So your new creation. The old, look at this, the old is gone, the new has come. Now, you don't look any different. Matter of fact, some of you have aged a little bit, Tommy, since I've met you. You gray hairs, I'm just saying. I've got a few myself. And wisdom. Preach it, brother, come on. The old is gone, the new has come. It's talking about spiritually speaking now. Right? All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And watch this, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God gave us a task. He gave us a job of reconciliation. Now, God's not done anything that he has to reconcile himself to us. Right? The good news is God is perfect, has been perfect, is perfect, will always be perfect. We're the ones that went astray and need to be reconciled back to God. We're the ones that got mad at God. We're the ones that pitched a fit at God, right? We're the ones that said no to God. We rejected him until we trusted in Jesus. And so we had to be reconciled back to God. And we've been given the ministry of reconciliation where we go to other people who put their hand up to God and said no. And we say, look, God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. He is not mad at you. Please come home. Be reconciled. Come back home. You're the prodigal son, prodigal daughter. Come back home to Jesus. Come back home to the Father. That God was reconciling the world through himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. They're not counted against you anymore. Whatever sins you had in this ledger column, they're erased. They're gone. They're cast, as the Bible says, they're cast as far as the east is from the west. Not counting men's sins against him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Not just the ministry. Not just the task. But also the words to say. And how to say them. He's given us this message. And everybody will be different. The waitress that I sat down with. The message to her is still reconciliation. It's delivered differently. This week, I was in the big box right over here. Where they sell tools. And I was just wandering around waiting on the Lord to do something. Waiting on somebody to come up and talk to me, or waiting on God to say, go talk to them. And this man and woman walked up. And he was about maybe 22. And he was the lead person. He had done this before. Where they come up and try to sell you something. And they wanted to sell me a water filtration system. That's what they were trying to sell. And the lady with him was, I would say, several years older than he was. And he walked up. He introduced himself. He said, my name is Christian. And we're here talking to people about water filtration systems. Could I ask you a few questions? And I called him by his first name. I said, well, Christian, I am a Christian. I just love how God sets up softballs. It was beautiful. That was a beach ball. It was so big, right? I said, well, I am a Christian. And I ask people when I go into stores like this, are they trusting in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And so I looked at him and said, are you trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He immediately reached inside his shirt and pulled out his cross. He said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I waved in front of him. I said, great. And I looked at her and he introduced her and I called her by her first name. I said, are you trusting in Jesus? She held out her hand and she had a tattoo of a cross right here on her hand. She said, I am trusting in Jesus. And so we talked about Jesus for a few minutes right there. You see, the message is reconciliation. How we deliver it is different with everybody. You just have to be ready and willing and open. That God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them, and he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors. That's our mission. You are Christ ambassador, whether you want to be or not, whether you choose to do it or not. Every day you're an ambassador of Christ. How you treat your wife, how you treat your husband, how you treat your kids, your parents, your coworkers, your neighbors, all the people wearing pajamas at Walmart. You hope they're wearing pajamas at least. We are Christ ambassadors to all people. No matter how we see them in a worldly viewpoint, we are Christ ambassadors to them. As though God, listen to this, as though God were making his appeal through us, because he is. That's plan A. There's no plan B. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. And now is the day of salvation. Amen? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone for your salvation? Are you? Are you listening online? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone for your salvation? I hope you are. Let's not let this Christmas season get away from us without telling someone about Jesus and encouraging him to trust in him. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this word. Thank you for sending your son Jesus Christ to be a baby, grow up as a man, minister for 3.5 years, die on the cross for our sins, come back to life, and to live in our hearts and lives and to live through us. We open our hearts right now and say, come speak through us to other people this week as we go into our marketplace. For us in the name of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, which means God with us, we pray. Amen.